بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فأما بعد، فقال تعالى الحمد لله رب العالمين. My brothers and sisters, we come to the second promise of the four promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. I remind myself and you that the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are conditional. They are conditional upon what we do. The promise of Allah is true, but the promise is conditional. It does not happen if we do nothing. And therefore, the simplest thing is to ensure that we fulfill the condition, and then the outcome is assured, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not go back on His promises. The second promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when He said, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Ibrahim, if you are grateful, I will surely increase you. I will surely increase my bounty on you. Allah ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi, in his tafsir, in the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha, in the tafsir of the first or the second ayat of Surah Al-Fatiha, the first ayat of Surah Al-Fatiha is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The second ayat of Surah Al-Fatiha is Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. In the tafsir of the second ayat of Surah Al-Fatiha, Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi mentioned the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said that a slave of Allah praised him in these words. He said, Rabbi laka alhamdu kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhika wa li azimi sultanik. He said, which means, O my Rabb, all praise and thanks are to you. All praise and thanks are to you. كَمَا يَنْبَغِي لِجَلَالِ وَجِكِ. In keeping with the glory and magnificence of your glorious countenance. In keeping with the glory and magnificence of your face. وَلِعَزِيمِ سُلْطَانِكِ. And in keeping with the glory and magnificence of your entire creation. Rasulullah ﷺ said that the malaika who write down the deeds of people and who record the reward of those deeds had never heard these words before in praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they did not know how much reward to write for these specific words. So they go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows before the malaika tell him what has happened. Allah knows what the slave said or was going to say even before he himself was aware of that. But the job of the malaika is to report. So they go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they say, Ya Rabbal Alameen, a slave of yours praised you in words that we have never heard before. What reward should we write for those words? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked them, what did my slave say? Anytime you hear a hadith like this, which says Allah asked this or asked that, please understand, it is not because Allah does not know. As I mentioned, Allah knows even before the man himself knew. Allah is asking in order to establish proof in favor of his slave. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he is asking the malaika, because what Allah asked them, on the day of judgment, they will be witnesses in favor of the slave. So therefore, Allah is establishing a witness in favor of his slave. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So, Allah said, what did he say? They said, Ya Rabb. The man said, Rabbi laka alhamdu kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhika wa li azimi sultanik. O my Rabb, all praise and all thanks is to you, in keeping with the glory and magnificence of your face, and in keeping with the glory and magnificence of your creation. And they asked, what reward should we write for these words? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, write the words of my slave just as he said them, and I will reward him in keeping with the glory and magnificence of my countenance and in keeping with the glory and magnificence of my creation. So what is that reward? This is the reward of praising and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inspire words in your heart which praise Him and glorify Him and thank Him in a way which no one has done before you. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward you in keeping with His magnificence and grace. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you thank me, I will give you more. Today, our whole life seems to be geared around the principle of more. Ever more money, ever more fun. For some of us, ever more knowledge, alhamdulillah. But ask somebody, no matter how wealthy, no matter how wealthy that person is, no matter how wealthy you think they are, ask somebody, what you have, is it enough? What you have, is it enough? Are you willing to say, I will not do anything more to increase this wealth? I won't say you will not find anyone. There are people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given contentment in their hearts. There are also people who will lie to you. So leave that aside. It's for them to decide. But the reality is that the vast majority of the world, it's never enough. It is never enough. No matter how many millions or billions, no matter what they have, it is never enough. And that is why Rasulullah ﷺ said, this hunger of the human being, the only thing that will fill that hunger is the turab of the qabr, is the sand of the grave. When that goes into his mouth, that hunger will be filled. He said the human being is the one who, if he gets one valley of gold and one valley of silver, he will ask for a third one. Valley of gold and silver. We're not talking about in tolas. A valley full of gold and a valley full of silver. Not this or that. Both. He will still want more. This is the nature of the human being. There is a khair and a good aspect to this nature as well. Because if this wasn't there, there would be no progress in the world. So there is a positive aspect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put this nature into us. The progress that we see in the world is because we want more. But like everything else, too much of a good thing is bad. Maximizing of something becomes a problem. And therefore, too much of this greed is bad. How many holidays do you want to take? How many cars do you want? How many houses do you want? How many whatever do you want? And remember, everything that we do in this world has an impact in the akhirah. The easiest way to understand that is, when you move your mouse, where does the cursor move? On the screen. There's nothing on the mouse. So every time you move your mouse, the cursor moves on the screen. So similarly, everything you are doing here, there is a cursor moving in the akhirah. Which means that every time I am choosing to do something here, it has an impact on the akhirah. So you must always ask this question and say, what I am taking, this is in exchange for what? This is in exchange for what? Please understand, I'm not talking about haram, I'm talking about halal. But even in halal, one must ask this question. Haram is not an option, so there's no point in talking about haram. Halal, what is the option? You're making a choice. Not making a choice is making a choice. Choosing not to do anything is a choice. So we are geared on more. More happiness, more power, more freedom, more everything. Even though growth for the sake of growth is the philosophy of the cancer cell. Growth for the sake of growth is the philosophy of the cancer cell. For the body and for society, both. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises increase, it means increase in goodness, increase in barakah, increase in khair, increase in quality, increase in lasting impact, and increase in enjoyment. Let us reflect about that. Let us reflect about which of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bounties we thanked Him for today. Think about this. Allah has given you and me many things. For which of them did you and I thank Him for today? There's a very dear friend of mine, Mudassir Masihuddin, who one day I was doing this lecture on shukr, and he said to me, what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that tomorrow you will not wake up with everything that you did not thank me for today? Right? To put it in another way, if Allah had said that tomorrow you will have only those things for which you thanked me today. It is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree this. May Allah protect us from this. But I'm saying, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that tomorrow you will not have anything that you did not thank me for today, believe me, every single one of us will open our eyes tomorrow morning and we will not be untouched. For some their health will go, for some their wealth will go, for some their children will go, for some their parents will go, for some... You just think about that. What all will we lose? Not one single person will be left untouched. It is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that though we take His bounties for granted, that though we do not thank Him, He continues to provide us what we need and what we desire without interruption. My brothers and sisters, how do you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what you have? And one way to do that is to imagine what life would be like without that particular gift from Allah. What about sight? Just try it. Blindfold yourself and walk around. You don't have to, it's not so difficult to do that, right? Blindfold yourself and walk around. Supposing we did not have sight, do you think there are no blind people in the world? What about hearing? Imagine there are people who are born deaf. They have never heard the tilawat of the Quran. Muslims. They can read the Quran. They are not blind. They can read the Quran. But they have never heard the Quran. There is a school in South Africa, in Pietermaritzburg, called Madrasatun Noor. Walana Hassan Murchi is a great friend of mine. He is the director of that school, which is a school for the sight impaired, for the blind. It's a madrasa for the sight impaired. And they have Quran in Braille, and they have the Kitab Siyasita in Braille, and so on. And may Allah bless them for doing this. So these students who are blind, they read Quran in Braille. It looks quite amazing for us, because I can't read Braille. So to see somebody just moving his finger and reading exactly correctly. Some of them are beautiful Qurra. They recite like amazing. It breaks your heart. But the fact is that they have never actually seen the Kitabat. They have never actually seen the words of the Quran. They have never actually seen the writing of the Mus'haf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You and I, alhamdulillah, are not there. So therefore, what must we do? Think about something without which you cannot do. I mentioned sight, I mentioned hearing. What about understanding? What about wisdom? What about Wi-Fi? That's easy, right? My brothers and sisters, everything we have is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for which we paid nothing, yet we don't stop to reflect on that. Let us remember that to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means to use what He blessed us with only in ways that He permitted and for things that He permitted. To thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means that we use His blessings only in the ways that He permitted and only for the things that He permitted. To take a blessing from Allah and to use it in a way which He did not permit is the worst of rebellion against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine somebody borrows your car. You've got this beautiful car, brand new, and this friend of yours comes and I borrow your car. And you say, oh, you're a dear friend of mine, of course, please take your car. And this guy takes your car and he trashes it. What will you say? He takes it from you, and instead of driving it carefully and bringing it back safely to you, he abuses it and he trashes it. This is what taking a blessing from Allah and using it in a way that Allah did not permit, this is what it amounts to. So if you want to go and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you want to spend your money doing something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not permitted, first get that money from a source other than Allah. Then do what you want with it. If you want to use your hearing and your sight and your power and authority and so on and your health and wealth in ways that Allah has prohibited, first source them from someone other than Allah and then do what you want with it. And if you can't do that, and you can't do that because everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, then please understand that you and I have no right to use the gifts of Allah in ways that Allah has not permitted. And if we do that, then we will be called to account by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life as well as on the day of judgment. My brothers and sisters, to use something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us in an action and for a purpose that angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to challenge Allah and to commit treason with Him. I certainly don't think that's a good idea. That is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about those who He blessed with all good things of this world and who still disobey Him and rebel against Him and who don't care to abide by His rules, all made for our own benefit. Allah said about such people, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. In Surah Al-An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, so when they forgot the warning with which they had been reminded, we opened for them the gates of every pleasant thing. Allah did not say He takes away the wealth. No. He will actually give you more. He did not say He will take away your power and authority. He did not say He will take away your influence and your friendships. He will give you more. And then Allah says, we opened on them the gates of every pleasant thing until in the midst of their enjoyment in that which they were given, all of a sudden, we took them to task. All of a sudden, you see the face of Malakul Maut. We took them to punishment and lo, they were plunged into destruction with deep regret and sorrows. Somebody asked Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, you've heard me saying these things so many times. I'm like a broken record. Imam Shafi'i, somebody asked him, they said, we see, this is what the ayat of Allah is saying, but we see people in the world who openly disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nothing happens to them. They are only getting wealthier and they are getting more influential and so on and so forth. How do you say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards good and he punishes evil. How can you say that? Imam Shafi rahmatullahi recited this ayat. And he said that when you see somebody who has wealth and influence and health and all the goodness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that person continues to disobey Allah, and you see that this wealth and so on is increasing, then it means that the doors of hidayat have been shut for that person. It means that the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already begun for this person. May Allah save us from that. The key is to take warning while there is still chance. Because if you find that the warnings are coming to you and they are having no effect on your heart, then please understand. Please understand what that means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenged us to count his blessings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you could count, or if you would count the ni'mat and the grace of Allah and the gifts of Allah, you would never be able to count them. And truly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is oft forgiving, most merciful. My brothers and sisters, to successfully count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one thing. Obviously, we can't do that. But not even to make an effort? How about that? The tragedy is that with most of us, we only think about a blessing of Allah when it has been taken from us. As long as we have it, we take it for granted, as if this is our birthright. Little do we look around us and notice those just like us, but who don't have even a fraction of what we have. And seldom do we ask, why me? How many of you have healthy children? Alhamdulillah, mentally healthy, physically healthy. And how many of you know those who are just like you? They were also Muslim. They also prayed 5 times a day. They also had hijab and beards. And they also had everything. But when the child was born, this child was not born healthy. The child was born with an impairment. Did you ask, why me? How come I did not get an impaired child? How many of you are free from diabetes? A friend of mine who's just undergone cancer treatment and radiation for, I think, some 40 episodes of radiation or something like that in the throat. And alhamdulillah, he has come out of that and physically well. And he wrote to me and he said that the follow-up tests, they say that we do not see any signs of the cancer. What are they saying? Are they saying the cancer is gone? No. They are saying we do not see any signs of the cancer. Now you know and I know that cancer cells are there in the body of every living human being. You have cancer cells, I have cancer cells. What is the difference between your cancer cells and the cancer cells of somebody who, within quotes, has cancer? Those are active, yours are not. That's it. They are there. So I said to my friend, I said, look, now good, you and I are equal because they haven't seen cancer in me either. And then now they say that they have not seen cancer in you, so we are fine. How many of us thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If you want proof, just go down the road here to the Cancer Institute. Just go stand there. It looks like a railway station. Literally looks like the number of people in and out of that place. There are people camping on the road divider outside. People who come from villages and so on and so forth, who can't afford to stay in the hospital. They're undergoing chemotherapy, and after that they're camping on the road divider outside, right at the corner of Chiran Palace. I mean, all of you know the place, right? Do we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do we say, why me? Ya Allah, how come you didn't give me cancer? Do we say this? We should say it, no? Yes or no? Should we thank Allah or you should not thank Allah? Do we or don't we? People just like us, believe me, there is no difference. One instance. And you have something that you have to deal with for the rest of your life. Whether it's health, whether it's children. Alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them and give you good children who are sadaqatul jariyah for you. I won't make a list. I'll let you make the list. And I make the list for myself. My brothers and sisters, on February 6th, 1993, Arthur Ashe, the tennis champion, the only African-American man to win Wimbledon and the US and Australian Opens. He died of complication from AIDS, contracted in a blood transfusion that he needed to have for heart surgery. He was 49. More than tennis, he was also a great social activist and a constant fighter against injustice. And that is what he is remembered for the most. Many asked him, they asked him, why did God choose you of all people to have AIDS? Many people asked him, they said, you have never done anything wrong in your life. You're doing so many good things. And why did God choose you to have AIDS? You know, this is a common kind of question that people ask whenever, why me? We never say, why me for the blessings. We say, why me if the thorn pricks your foot? Arthur Ashe's reply is absolutely, it blows you away. He said, all over the world, there are a million teenagers who aspire to be tennis players. Out of these, maybe 100,000 reach to some level of proficiency. Of them, only a few thousand play in some circuit. And only 100 or so play the Grand Slam. Finally, only 2 reach the final of Wimbledon. And out of those 2, only 1 wins. He said, when I was standing with the trophy of Wimbledon in my hand, when I was standing with the trophy of Wimbledon in my hand, I never questioned God, why me? So now, what right do I have to ask him, why me? Just think about that. If we look at how we live, most of the musallis of this masjid anyway, you have climate control in your homes. Yes? Air conditioning. Many of you say very proudly, AC kya bagair neend nahi aati bhai. ले जाके बाहर डाला तुम्हारा छोंग भी आती दिन भर काम कुछ नहीं करते इस वास्ते नींद नहीं आती रन 10 miles एंड कम बैक अंगार लगाते तो हुए नींद आती सीरियसली बोलते नहीं बोलते मोस्ट ऑफ यू हैव क्लाइमेट कंट्रोल्स इन योर होम्स यू हैव रेफ्रिजरेटर्स व्हिच प्रोवाइड यू विद कोल्ड वाटर एंड आइस एंड हैव स्टॉक्ड फूड फॉर द नेक्स्ट 6 months. Think about this. The Mughal Emperor, Shah Jahan, whose net worth was 25% of global GDP, didn't have climate control in his house. He sweated in the heat and he breathed a sigh of relief when he got a cool gust of breeze from a manually operated fan. Ice was brought for him from Kashmir and stored in underground chambers in Agra Fort. And this was available only to him and his family. Nobody else. And of course, the people who brought the ice. That is the two ends. Either you are rich enough to be the king, or you're poor enough to be a slave, and then you still have the eyes. We travel in cars, which on an average give us a speed of 50 kilometers an hour, right? Average speed, that much. Usually more than that, but that much. Julius Caesar marched 16 miles in a day, while 50 kilometers is 31 miles. So on an average, in 1 hour, we do twice the distance that the Roman army marched in a full day. And we do that in air-conditioned comfort, while the Roman legionary marched in the sun, carrying a full load of armor, weapons and equipment, amounting on an average to about 30 kilograms. And nobody flew. We fly as a matter of routine. And we remark about the bad service of cheap airlines or the long lines at airports. Not about the miracle. I'm not even going to the A380. Not even about the miracle of a 737-800 that weighs 80 tons of steel, taking to the air, cruising at 40,000 feet at 900 kilometers an hour. Doesn't strike us. We take it for granted. The 737-800 has a maximum takeoff weight of 80,000 kilograms. This includes the weight of the plane, which is about half, 40,000, and the weight of the fuel, which is about another 18,000, which leaves about 20,000 kilograms, 20 tons for passengers and cargo and crew. I will not list all the multiple blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we take for granted in our lives. Conveniences that even the most powerful and wealthy kings of the past didn't even dream of. Yet how many times do we reflect on them and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them? We must ask why not before we are asked the same. My brothers and sisters, I want to end with a request to you. Let us do this exercise today before you go to bed. Go home, sit in a place without any disturbance and list your top 10 blessings. Not more than 10. Top 10. I know you have more than that. But list only the top 10 in order of priority. List the top 10 blessings. And as I said, if you have difficulty choosing that, imagine life without that blessing and it will become clear to you how much you value that. And then go in sajda and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for each of them one by one. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase your blessings. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you among the shakirin and dhakirin. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to open the doors of His rahmah and His mercy, to open the doors of His maghfirat and His forgiveness, to open the doors of His ni'mat for you and never to close them, and to give you the final and greatest of His blessings, which is His forgiveness when you meet Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.